Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, December 23rd. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. A recent pilot project provided residents in Fresno County with $500 a month, no strings attached.
Fresno has high rates of poverty. We have a lot of programs that serve people in poverty, but we know it's not enough.
Coming up, we'll learn about how a guaranteed income program project impacted families and whether it can be a long-term solution to poverty. But first, these headlines. Democratic State Assembly member Jasmeet Bains wants federal authorities to intervene in the case of Zach Scrivener. He's the Kern County supervisor who's facing felony weapons and child abuse charges. Bains claims the state of California is being too soft. That's because mental health diversions shouldn't excuse people facing child abuse charges. And yet, Scrivener was granted one last week. Bains called the move a, quote, Epstein loophole, saying powerful people are too often shown favoritism in the justice system. Nearly every California State University president will earn more than the president of the United States next year. That follows recent presidential pay raises by the CSU Board of Trustees. Some presidents will now be paid $600,000 a year, and that's before adding in their car allowances and up to $80,000 in housing stipends. Democratic Assemblymember Patrick Aaron says this sends the wrong message to students and staff already struggling with rising costs.
I don't buy the we need to be competitive with other universities or the private sector. You know, if you want to make the private sector money, then go work in the private sector. But if you want to stay and be a public servant, there is plenty of talent and people who would love these opportunities.
Some presidents are also eligible to receive up to 15% bonuses under the new pay raises. A new California law takes aim at stay-or-pay clauses that can saddle workers with thousands of dollars in bills if they leave a job. Cap Radio's Greg Michek explains what changes on January 1st.
If your employer pays for training, you may have seen fine print that says you'll owe that money back if you quit or get let go. Under AB 692, those stay-or-pay clauses, also called Training Repayment Agreement Provisions, or TRAPs, will become illegal in California employment contracts signed or modified in the new year. Supporters of the law say the threat of debt can keep people stuck in jobs they want to leave. Lorena Gonzalez-Fletcher is president of the California Federation of Labor Unions.
This bill prohibits companies from basically creating a situation where workers are almost indentured servants, where workers are forced to stay at a job or pay that employer.
AB 692 includes some exceptions, including for credential and apprenticeship-related agreements. But if an employer includes prohibited TRAP terms going forward, the law allows workers to sue and seek civil penalties. Parag Amin is a Los Angeles-based labor and business attorney.
Ultimately, it's your decision about whether you want to stay or go. And this is what AB 692 helps enforce, is that you don't have to be stuck somewhere just because you're scared of needing to pay a bunch of money back.
Amin says workers should read employment paperwork closely before signing and ask questions about any repayment language tied to leaving a job.
That was Greg Michek with Capital Public Radio. Health officials are looking into an outbreak of scabies at a Kern County immigration facility. News outlets report that the health department's working with medical staff to treat the outbreak at the ICE facility in McFarland. Scabies is a contagious skin condition caused by mites, and it often spreads when people are in close quarters. The outbreak comes as Attorney General Rob Bonta also raised concerns about inadequate conditions at an ICE facility in California City. The future of a new Madera County casino is now in question after a recent court ruling. The Picayune Rancheria of the Chukchansi Indians has challenged what's called the North Fork Casino for years, and a judge has now ruled that a formal approval for the casino is invalid. The ruling cites a 2014 proposition that would have approved new gaming projects for the North Fork Rancheria of Mono Indians, but voters rejected the measure.
KVPR is now 100% community funded. That means it's time for all of us to defend this vital source of information. Your monthly sustaining donation of any amount ensures that the news, music, and more that you rely on will be here for years to come. Click donate at kvpr.org or on the app.
And now to our main story. Earlier this year, the first ever guaranteed basic income program in Fresno came to a close. 300 families in some of the most poverty-stricken areas of Fresno County were given $500 a month for a year. That's cash, free and clear, no strings attached. The Fresno Economic Opportunities Commission raised the money for the program, and Fresno State's Center for Community Voices collected data to evaluate the program's impact. So, how did this money help families, and how did they spend it? To find out, today we're speaking with Fresno State Sociology Professor Amber Crowell. Amber is a founding co-director of the Center for Community Voices, and she authored the Guaranteed Income Program's evaluation report, which was released this month. She begins our conversation by explaining a little bit about guaranteed income programs in general.
So the guaranteed income movement has been taking off across the country. One of the leaders of this movement was actually here in the Central Valley, Mayor Michael Tubbs. Former Mayor Michael Tubbs of Stockton started the guaranteed income pilot in that city and inspired people across the country who've been looking for different ways to address poverty. You hear families talk about the programs that currently serve them, and there are a lot of challenges with those programs. And so people are looking for new ways to do things. And it was important to do that here because Fresno has high rates of poverty. We have a lot of programs that serve people in poverty, but we know it's not enough. And we also know that these families deserve dignity and they deserve respect. And guaranteed income is designed to give families the money they need, but also give them the agency to decide how they're going to spend it, which some people find risky, but the data shows that it's actually a really good investment because families use it in the ways that serve them best.
Okay, we will get into some skeptics in a little bit, but First let's go into how this guaranteed basic income program in Fresno exactly works. I understand that specific zip codes were chosen to test this program out.
Yeah, so before we started the program that ended this year, we had held listening sessions around the county with different communities who might be served by the program. So we went to Selma and talked to farm workers. We went to El Dorado Park and talked to low-income families living there. We talked to families in public housing in West Fresno. And then we also talked to student parents at Fresno State. So we tried to get a sense of what would different populations get from it? What do they expect from it? And in the end, in partnership with Fresno EOC, we determined that we wanted to do a pilot because this was a pilot, right? It was never meant to serve the entire population, at least not directly. We wanted to make sure that our program included both a rural and an urban community. There aren't many basic income pilots that have focused on rural communities, and there's a lot that is different about living in a rural community, as you'd see in the report. So we chose Huron because it's a high poverty zip code. And we also chose Southwest Fresno because it's also a high poverty but urban zip code. And those two communities together give us those rural and urban populations who historically have dealt with high levels of poverty and also have, you know, unique experiences.
How many families applied and how many participated in this program?
Yeah, so there were around 10,000 applications.
Wow.
Many of them were ineligible because of geography. They didn't live in the zip codes. So at the end of the day, we selected 150 families, 75 from Huron and 75 from Southwest Fresno.
And just to clarify for listeners, this was no strings attached monthly stipends of $500 over the course of a year, right?
Correct.
Starting in, was it July 2024 was
the first month. And then the last payment was in June 2025.
Okay. And now you've been breaking down the findings since then.
Yeah.
Recently, the center that you co-founded at Fresno State, the Center for Community Voices, released a report highlighting the program's sort of early results. So what were some of the highlights and what did you find interesting about it?
Yeah, the most compelling finding, and one that's really encouraging, is that families significantly reduced their debt spending. I mean, you saw a drop right away from July 2024, which is when the program started, to our second wave of data collection in November 2024. That was significantly different from the control group that we also included in our study. So we had 150 families from the same zip codes who weren't receiving the money, but who were in every other way similar to the families who were. So that was a really important component of the research design. And so through that comparison, we were able to see how much more significantly folks who were getting the money reduced their debt spending. So that's really important because that means families were being made whole. And we also learned from qualitative data that families were reducing the debt that they had. So they were paying off utility debt, which was a major issue for a lot of our families. And we even had one person say she paid off her student debt. And so those are really, really encouraging signs. Another thing that we were really pleased to see and excited about is that all of the participants were parents of young children. So they had to have children ages 0 to 5 or be pregnant. And so from the interviews and from the quantitative data, we learned from these parents that at the start of the program, they were reporting all sorts of stress from not being able to provide everything that their children needed, from not being able to spend as much time with their children as they wanted to because they were working so much, and also being just exhausted from constantly telling their children no, which if you are a parent, then you know how demoralizing that can be after a while when you're having to constantly tell your children, no, we can't get that, we can't afford it. So throughout the program, we heard from these parents that one, they were much better able to cover basic needs for their children. A lot of folks mentioned diapers, which it's really hard to get any kind of assistance with diapers. But then they also mentioned being able to buy foods that they don't normally get to for their children. And they also were really happy with how much more involved they could be in their children's lives. So they were going to sporting events with their kids. They were spending more time at home. And it was even simple things like going out for ice cream. Mm-hmm. These were things that were major changes for them. And so that was really encouraging for us because we know in those early years of childhood how important it is that your parents be involved in your lives. That's when you're emotionally developing. And so we were really happy to see that as well.
I have to assume there are probably critics of a program like this, maybe some people who don't think money should just be handed out freely. Have you heard any pushback on the project?
Not directly to me. I've definitely seen some of the chatter, some of the skepticism, but I think to those folks, I think it's important to recognize that there are so many ways already that we just give out money, right? And so I think a lot of it comes down to changing the way we perceive people in poverty and why people are in poverty. It's actually not really that much about individual choices. A lot of it has to do with structural conditions. You talk to any of these people, and we spent a whole year with these families talking to them. A lot of them are in these situations through no fault of their own. It's just really, really hard to get by. Fresno County has high rates of poverty not because people make worse choices here. It's because there are not a lot of opportunities. It's because many things are difficult to afford. We have rising housing costs, rising utility bills, rising grocery bills. And at the end of the day, that's what most people want, is just to be able to pay for their daily lives and also give more to their children. And so it takes a little trust, but what we learned from this program is that these families really do want the best for themselves and for their children.
And is there hope to restart this program sometime in the future? What's the outlook like there?
That is my hope. I think right now I can't lay out specific plans for you because what we need to do in the immediate future is take these findings that are Fresno specific, right? We have pilots from across the country, but there's something different about having results from right here in Fresno County, people who live here, and educate our leaders, our community, so that we can build up the political will to make this happen.
Amber Crowell, sociology professor at Fresno State and one of the leading founders of a guaranteed basic income pilot project in Fresno. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.